Session number 5868, Horton Mandy, part 20.
Only last night when I read out your Red Cross parcels, what you got in the box, I didn't read them out too clear, you see? So I think I'd better read them again for anyone who couldn't hear it. Okay?
Yeah.
Right, the first one is cocoa, milk, dripping, fish, dates, beef, cheese, bacon and potato, soup square and soap. And the second one is soup, cheese, meat, vegetable, pudding, margarine, fish, biscuits, Quaker oats, soup and smokes.
When my great nephew, Ashley, was round here tonight, I got him to set up the tape for me again, but last night he read out the contents of a grocery parcel. Well, now he was a long way away from the mic and it didn't come out very clear, so I got him to do it again for me tonight. Well, now he read the contents, but I believe last night I said we had six grocery parcels and two bread parcels. I should have said six grocery and two and four, not two bread parcels. Well, now I don't know if I told you on the other tape the routine of parcels when they arrive in Germany. Well, what actually happens, they are sent through neutral countries such as Switzerland, Bern, Switzerland, also Copenhagen, Denmark, and they're sent to the main camps, such as Dolmen for us in Westphalia, and so on to the main camp in East Prussia, which was Eelsburg. That's where ours went to. Well, when they arrive there, every parcel is opened and put on tables. One side of the tables are the Germans, the other side are the British, and so it's checked. They open different things in the parcel, which they can open, such as biscuits or packets of rice, anything like that. They will open, see if there's any message inside, even to the extent of cutting a tablet of soap in half, see if there's a message in that. And then they're, of course, sealed again, and as I say, sent out to the commandos. Well, now, I believe Ashley told you that there were smokes inside the parcel. Well, that was so. Now, your issue for the month, that's your sixth grocery, your issue for the month was 50 cigarettes in four of the parcels, which amounted to 200 cigarettes for the month. Well, now I always used to have woodbines, naturally. Well, now I'll just relate a funny little tale. Before we had our parcels, we was in a bad way, as I've told you before. Just before the parcels came, we was all locked in the cellars as usual on Sunday. Well, on this particular Sunday, one of them said, to pass the time away, he said, let's have a vote as to what we would think we'd like, first of all, if we could get it from England, such as a tin of meat, tin of treacle, that was all mentioned, tin of treacle, tin of meat, packet of biscuits, a loaf of bread, tin of fish, all sorts of things was mentioned. And smokes, would we want a fag or tobacco or a letter from home? All those things was mentioned. And finally, when it came to a vote, the decision was a cigarette. if we could only get a packet of fags, and that was the final vote of the monks, all of us together. Well, as old Yorkie said at the time, well, you know what a card he was, or I could tell you about him eventually. Oh, hell, he said, give me a fag, he said, and I'll die happy. Well, now that was the result of that vote. Now, I think I'd better try and describe that things then began to be a little bit awkward, because we was all packed in those cellars, I told you, all different nationality of prisoners in this large cellar. Well, now, our parcels, we was the only ones that had them, as I told you. Well, now, when we was at work, all out at work, you had to run the risk of one of the other prisoners, some of the others, Russians, Italians, all sorts, you know, Romanians, I didn't like them buggers, the Romanians, all those. Well, if there was none of us there, you know what would have happened, or did at times, but very, very seldom. Well, what we used to do, when we all came back from work, we shot down there and we organised so that one of us was always in that cellar to see that nothing was stolen. Well, it carried on for some time, and eventually I told you that I became interpreter for our lot, and old Rodney from London, Cockney kid, I told you his parents kept a pub there, nice chap. Well, him and I, as I told you, used to be interpreters for our little bundle, and I said, I'll go and see the postman, Jerry, and have a word, see what can be done. So I went and saw him, and of course we were getting on top of him then, as I told you. We caught him out and was getting on top of him a bit. And I told him how we was fixed, that it wasn't right, that we should have to go and leave our food in the cellar, because we organised it naturally. As the parcels came, you organised it so as you had something each day. Well, organise your rations, put it that way. And, all right, he said, what I'll do for you, I'll shift you English upstairs. Well, now that building was exactly the same as the present day flats are in England, what they're building nowadays. Well, then we went up, took us up, one large room there was, and a large kitchen attached to it. Now this long, large room, he said, there you are, he said, you English can have that, all right. Well, what he did, down below, of course I told you, we used to sleep on netting, you know, framed up netting, which was quite comfortable, with a blanket. Well, when we got up there, he had a long board fitted right along from one end of the room to the other, about 7 foot, 6 foot six, or 7 foot from the wall, right along. The board stood about a foot or 18 inches high. Well, now he filled all that in. All the way along he filled it in all thick and deep with straw. So, it might be a laugh, you'd think like bedding pigs down, but it don't matter. It was as comfortable as could be. We all laid along there in this long room, all along on this straw, and it was beautiful, and we settled down there, and that's how we carried on from that. Well, close by in another large room, which you could call a kitchen. Now, that was set out, because it was wooden, and there was no gas, not that sort of cookers. It was a very, very long stove. And every so far along the top of this stove, there was iron rings with a stop in the centre. So all underneath you had a fire. used to get wood. We used to bring wood down from the forest and keep a fire going underneath, and you lifted these rings off so that you could put on top your cooking, whatever you wanted to cook, such as pots or pans or anything, and you lifted each ring off to fit the whatever you wanted to put on. Well, now that was very, very convenient, and we used to do a cooking there eventually, but I'll tell you a few tales about that later on, the cooking business. Well, now, just to remind me, it crossed my mind. I told you about those parcels, and I told you about the vote that we had as to what we would like, and the vote was that we ended up with a smoke. That was the vote, that we should want a smoke. Now, I've told you on that previous tape what actually did happen on that previous tape. And when the parcels come, as I've said before, I'm going to say it again because it don't matter. Don't matter to me, don't matter to anybody else, as far as I know. It'll pass the time away. But what actually did happen, when all those parcels came, letters, bundle of letters, parcels, four, three, four or five each, heap of them, all came together, we went nearly mad, as I told you. And I also told you that no one touched a parcel until I'd opened and read the letters that came. The bundle of letters, they all opened that first. Well, there's a difference, what a vote will do on one occasion and what an actual fact happens when it arrives. Well, autumn came and the winter started to set in. That would be around the November time. Now, winter there was a terrible winter. The civilians, when I used to talk to them, later, more so especially later on when I could speak German, they told me that in that part of Germany or East Prussia was what they call German Siberia because of the terrible weather they used to have. And we most certainly had a terrible weather winter while I was there, that first winter. Now, in November, the first lot of snow fell, and soon as that started, the first lot that fell, you could say that was there right up till the following spring. Now all the carts and wagons, they all took the wheels off and replaced them with sleighs. And it used to be very fascinating. Of an evening, a winter evening, you could see out, and along the country roads wider out, you could see the old horse trotting along, and the sleighs and the bells on them, just the same as you see on a Christmas card. It was very fascinating. Well, now, what actually happened then, as far as I'm concerned, that I remember, we had a terrific snowstorm. Now, the railways was blocked, and they had all the prisoners from the village. They took the whole lot of us from down to the station and along, and there was a long railway cutting. And this cutting was almost level full with snow, and the railway people, they drove up railway wagons, and us prisoners had to dig the snow out, load it up onto these trucks, and they shunted it away and cut it through. We had to cut through this railway cutting. I was never so cold in my life. I'll tell you what actually happened. There was a wind come up, bitter cold, and it blew the snow like a lot of dust along this railway cutting. And at that time, it was bitter. At that time, I'd got a moustache. Well, if you wanted to be anybody in Germany, you had to grow a moustache. They thought you was a man then. But anyway, I'd got a moustache. And the wind and this snow blowing like dust, it collected on me moustache, and there was icicles hanging on me moustache, and at the back, me hair at the back, that had got icicles on. Oh, hello, and never so cold before. Icicles on me moustache and in me neck as well. Well, now these Russians, oh, hello, don't know. Well, I don't know where they managed, but the railway authorities, they give them a load of sacks, and they wrap these sacks all round them to try and keep warm while they worked. And because by then, you see, I'd got some lovely uniform. The real army, well, it was all blue coats. The old army coat I'd had in me parcels, well, I wrapped that up. That kept me nice and warm. But there was quite a lot of these prisoners. There was the Germans or the Russians. There was a right royal old pickle. In fact, quite a lot of them died over it. Now, I'll drift over now to another instance that happened. I don't know whether I told you on the other tapes or not, but anyway, when I was right down and out and scrounging round and working in the village, I don't know if I told you, but I'll tell you again anyway. I had to go and chop some logs up for an old couple, an old German couple, and I had to go there, the post, and sent me there to chop some logs up, firewood logs for them. Now this old couple, the old lady, she called me in the house, took me in, and she gave me a good old mug of coffee. Well, what they call coffee, a good old hot mug of coffee and a chunk of bread. Well, now, I never forgot that. In fact, I treated her well afterwards, many months later. But here's a little instance that that happened then. They brought a load of coal into the station for the village. Now that coal was not like ordinary coal, but it had been processed into little blocks, like bricks. Well, now the postman sent old Roddy and me down, and some bloke come with his wagon and drove us down. I had a hell of a shock when I got down in the yard at the station. There were some women, a couple of women unloading a coal truck. I thought, blimey, that was something never heard of in England, a woman going to work. Never mind about unloading coal, that was in those days I'm talking about. These two women were unloading coal. Anyway, they loaded their van up, the wagon. The old Jerry drove us back into the village, and you had to give so many pieces of this coal. It was all the same size, I forget the number, might have been 10 or a dozen each house. Penny Road, I got to this old couple, and she come out with her bag, and I was excited to get a bit of fire in other than wood, and she come out with a bag. I said to old Roddy, I says, you keep him nattering if you can, I'll load a bag. Well, this old gal, I filled her bag right up to the top. I don't know whether she had a dozen or three or four dozen. Anyway, I filled her bag right up. She kept saying no in, I'll tell you in English. No, don't, she said, don't. She says, I'm frightened. I said, go on, go on. I filled her old bag up, and away she went and put it in. I bet she were pleased, but that was just something in return for what she'd done for me. I never forgot it. And in fact, I'll tell you a tale about them later on, all being well. Well, now, I think I'd better off wander off now and tell you another tale about them Romanians. I told you I didn't like them, and I'll tell you how it all happened. When we had a parcels, I told you about that kitchen range upstairs. Well, then when the winter come, I allowed the other prisoners to go up and do their bit of cooking on it. Well, because their cooking meant that I'd scrounge some spuds and that round the village. And I boiled the spuds up. That was their food. Well, in my case, I used to have rice in my parcel. In fact, I was special. I taught them then to send rice instead of Quaker oats. Well, what I used to do with this rice, I used to soak it and then boil it. And what I used to do instead of in Britain where we have sugar and tackle in, I used to have dripping. I told them to alter me parcel to have dripping instead of butter. And I used to put this dripping in when it was done, all that went. That didn't half keep the cold out, a good old basin of rice and dripping. Well, now what happened this night? Oh, hell. I come back. We all used to rush back where we were working. We'd been working in that forest that day. Rush back. I went upstairs and got some water. I got a saucepan. Well, you see, I'd scrounged and got a fair amount of money. Then you could buy things. I could buy it. Bought a new saucepan. Put me, rice in. Mixed it all up with water and that. Put it on a boil. Come down, had a swill. When I went back upstairs, there was two of these Romanians. I told you I didn't like them. Them two stood there, and my pot, my saucepan, was shoved out on the right at their neck away. So I thought, blimey. So I fetched my saucepan. They stood there. I lifted theirs off and put mine on. They started shouting. Grabbed theirs and took it all and put mine on. It put mine out the way. I thought, hello. Well, that done it. I got theirs. I knocked it off the stove onto the floor. I put mine on the stove in the place of theirs. I got hold of... Now, don't think I'm swanking. I got hold of one of them in front of his throat on his tunic. I got out the other just the same, and I held them at arm's length. And I shook them. I shook hell out of them. They squealed. They hollered. Shouted, posting, posting, posting. And old Jerry, the posting, come running up. Before he got there, I slung one way and one the other. Old posting come up. What's the matter? I told him what had happened. And he said, all right, he kicked them out, told them to get back down in the cellar out the way. Now, there's a difference. Now, if that same thing had happened a few months ago, before we got our parcels, old Poston had belted me. But no, he kicked them out. And that just shows the difference. Well, that was because just at that time, well, then I was getting my strength back and I were all right. But I'm not swanking, but that's what actually happened with them. I believe I told you that there was one Serbian there. That's from the Baltic. The Balkans, wouldn't it be Serbia? Anyway, there was a Serbian there, and he was on his own. He was the only one. But by gum, he was a nice chap. And... we sort of took to him. I took to him and looked after him. And me having plenty of food, I used to give him my bread. And very often, you know, the sauerkraut dinner. When I was all right for me parcels, but if I'd run short, I didn't. But if I'd was all right, I used to let him have my bread and sometime me bowl of sauerkraut. And he looked after us very well. He'd do anything for us, and we used to, us chaps, that was before we went upstairs, we used to get him to keep his eye on our stuff for us, so that if anybody were pinching anything. But he'd done us a good turn, looked after us well. Now I'm going to tell you a tale now about these Russians. Oh, hell, they were a knobby lot. And I'll just tell you what happened when they had a row. I was there one day and they fell out. I told you before when on earlier tapes, when you're half starved, you can't fight at all. If there's a row, if you go for one another, you only push one another over, you can't hit them. But anyway, I'll tell you about what happened to these Russians. I had to laugh at it, but how it works out. Now, there were two Russians fell out, and they had a fight in the yard. We watched it, and all this Russian crowd was round them, and they were shouting for one, or shouting for the other, supporting them. Now, the one of them come unstuck, got knocked down. He jumped on him, were bashing him about, and they cheered like hell. They cheered for the bloke on top, walloping him. It didn't matter about the poor bloke underneath. And then eventually he got up at the finish and set about the other one then. Oh, he had a laugh like hell. He set about the other, and when he knocked him down, they cheered for him and all. Now, how the hell do you get to him now? They always wanted to back a winner. It didn't matter what happened, they must back a winner. In a later tape, God willing, I'll tell you quite a lot about the Russians, because there was one Russian there, him and I got ever so pally. He was a very nice chap. In peacetime, he was a chief of the police in Siberia, and he was a jolly nice chap. Well, of course, him, same as me, and another one, a Frenchman, we all three sort of picked the lingo up fairly quick. Well, when you pick a language up, you can converse the same as if it's in your own language. And later on, I've all been, well, I'll tell you many tales of about their country as it was. Good night.